Well, hey, just a moment ago, we watched and we listened to things that we never hear from dads. All right, now, you would agree that we never hear those things from dads, right? I mean, they're just not things that dads say. And there are some things that we just never hear from Jesus as well. Would you just maybe agree with that? There are some things that we just never hear from Jesus. In fact, we never hear Jesus say, following him will be an easy life. Right? I mean, we just never hear him say that. In fact, here's what we hear Jesus say. From the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden I give you is light. Wait a minute. I thought Jesus never said that following him was easy. But what did he just say? Let's put that back up there, Les. I want them to know I'm not making this up. Read this with me. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Huh? It kind of sounds like he just said following him is easy. Nobody ever told me that. How about you? I mean, they use words like take up your cross and follow him, right? Deny yourself. I mean, this is, you know, it's not, life isn't supposed to be easy. It's difficult. But here's Jesus telling his disciples and all those who are following him that my yoke, all right, now yoke in those days was kind of, I mean, not just an oxen kind of yoke, but a yoke for someone who was the master or teacher who was discipling someone to be their follower. Their yoke was their teaching. It was their way of living. So Jesus is saying, my teaching, my way of living is easy. And my burden is light. But again, I hear teachings and I read devotions on topics like money or service, and we all kind of feel like it's we're being called to live a more difficult kind of lifestyle. The belief goes something like this. I mean, even when it comes to money, you know, because I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to give part of my money, part of my income away. Non-believers don't have to do that. This is kind of a hardship on me. I mean, being a Christian means I have to give up something. I have to give up the things I would like to do. That means that mine is a more painful kind of path. Mine is a more difficult kind of way to live. Mine is harder. And we begin to think that living a Christian life is the price that we have to pay for salvation. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, I didn't pay anything for my salvation. Jesus did. Amen? Mine was not difficult. His was. It's possible that maybe we've missed a crucial point of discipleship. In The Secret of the Easy Yoke, Dallas Willard shares a very different kind of message for us. He says the truth that every part of the Christian life is intended for our good, to bless us with abundant life, rich with meaning and purpose. He says, sin has broken the world and it continues to shatter things. And you can't live very long without witnessing the consequences of the fall, from minor frustration to overwhelming heartache. This life is chock full of hurt and disappointment and things that keep falling apart. And yet there is beauty to be found, beauty that is not fleeting, beauty that abides, a life that is lighter and easier to live. And this is the life that Jesus invites us to. Now just think about it for a minute. Is life easier or harder without God? It's harder, isn't it? Is life easier or harder without grace? It's harder, isn't it? Is life easier or harder without love? Harder. Is life easier or harder when you're living it alone? Jesus' way is easier. Amen? It gets distorted when we think that we're in charge of it and responsible for it. Right? And look just for a minute how Jesus, this passage began. It began with these three words, come to me. Just say those words with me. Come to me. Come to me if your burdens are heavy. Come to me if your way is difficult. Come to me if you're weary of trying to do things all by yourself. Come to me if the demands of life are too much. Come to me. I mean, this is the first thing that Jesus invites us to do, right? Come to him. Come and be with him. And what we discover is that the invitation to this life of discipleship, this invitation to what a disciple looks like, this invitation to the easy life is found even in the invitation itself. When Jesus was first calling those disciples on the Sea of Galilee, those fishermen, you remember them? You know, they were out there just kind of doing their own thing. They'd wound up their business for the day. They had fish maybe in their nets. Life seemed to be full. It seemed to be complete. And along comes this guy, Jesus. And they hear Jesus. Well, here's what the scripture says, Matthew chapter 4. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. And Jesus called to them. Read this with me. Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. Now, did you hear it? How'd it start? Come. Yeah, follow me. Come. And that's really the first step, is it not? It's really just the first thing that Jesus just says to us, come. And once we say yes, once we say, okay, I'll come, then it starts everything else into motion. Sometimes we think, because we've heard evangelists preach this, and we've heard people say this, you know, you just have to invite Jesus into your heart. That's the first thing you have to do. Baloney. Here's the first thing you have to do. You have to hear him say, come. Amen? I didn't do the first thing. Jesus did. You didn't do the first thing. Jesus did. You didn't do the first thing that called you into being. God did. You and I didn't do the first thing. Amen? God did the first thing. The first thing that we have to do is just to hear him say, come. You belong here. You belong with me. You're mine. Come. You know, that's the first thing. And after we come to be there, Jesus invites us into this life. Jesus says, you know, look, I've come to be with you. I've come to share life with you. I've come to give life to you. And even if you're not sure you believe yet, because I'm certain that Peter and Andrew had no idea. How about you? I'm certain they had no idea who Jesus really was, what he was going to ask them to do, what it was going to end up like, what it was going to mean for the rest of their life, but they went anyway. They heard in his voice, even if you don't know yet, even if you don't fully believe yet, even if you aren't sure that you need me yet, come. You belong to me. Come. You belong with me. Come. And here's the other thing that happens. This is the really good stuff. They weren't perfect. Right? And Jesus said what? Come anyway. You know, just turn to somebody and just say to them, you're not perfect. All right, some of you said that with more glee than others. Right? But now say, come anyway. Come anyway. Come anyway. You know, they didn't have all the gifts they needed. They didn't have all the information they needed. They didn't have their lives in order. They weren't the top of the crowd. They didn't know what it meant to be a disciple. They didn't know what it was to be a disciple of Jesus. They didn't have any idea where they were going, what they were going to do, where they were going to end up, how long it was going to be. But they went. We get all mixed up in trying to be good enough, trying to know enough, trying to think enough, trying to know what the end is going to be, trying to know how exactly it is that we're going to get there. But here's the thing. I don't know those things, but who does? Jesus knows those things about me, right? Jesus knows all those things about me. He knows more about me than I know about myself. And he invites me anyway. He invites me anyway. And in our minds, we kind of go, but Jesus, if you knew this about me, you'd never call me. And Jesus kind of says, yeah, I know that. I know that about you, and I know a couple things you don't even know about yourself. And I think I'm calling you. I'm calling you anyway. He knew Peter would not always get it. Would you disagree with that? He knew Thomas would doubt. He knew the other disciples wouldn't like Matthew the tax collector because nobody likes tax collectors. Still true, right? He knew that Judas was going to betray him and he called him anyway. He knew all the disciples would turn and run and he called him anyway. He knew all of these things, and still he called them, and they came. And look and see what happens. They become disciples of Jesus. Agreed? They become not just followers, but they become disciples of Jesus. So the invitation to come happens, and then discipleship begins to take shape in their lives. And the definition of a disciple is found even in that invitation. The definition of a disciple is follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Three things to be a disciple. We often make discipleship into a checklist of things to do or things not to do, and things, places we have to be, and things, places not to be, and if we do those things, then we are a disciple. But that isn't what Jesus really kind of says. You know, Jesus really kind of says what? That discipleship is summed up in relationship, loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as you love yourself. That's relationship, right? It's not a checklist. Jesus invites us into a relationship, and whenever we begin that relationship, everything else begins to follow, to take shape. Because a disciple knows and follows Jesus Christ. Isn't that what he says? Come and follow me. That's the first thing to be a disciple. We have to be willing to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus means that we have to obey Jesus. We have to know Jesus. We have to know his heart and his mind and his life. We have to know it. And once you know something, then you have to live in the knowledge of knowing it. You have to live with the knowledge of that being true for you. That means you kind of have to obey what that is, right? Now, you know, If you knew my dad, you would know some things about me for sure. Right? I mean, there are some things about me that are true today because of who my dad was and is. That makes sense? Some of it's good, and some of it's not so good. You know? My granddaughter would tell you that, or my daughter rather, would tell you that my grandson, who she calls John Jr. from time to time, and not usually in a loving way, she'll call and she'll say, well, here's what John Jr. did today. And it wasn't usually my most endearing qualities. Right? Because when you know someone, it shapes you. Agreed? To follow Jesus is to know Jesus. It shapes us. It forms us. You know, we hear Jesus saying things like denying self and taking up our cross, and it doesn't sound easier. But it is easier to live a life that's filled with peace and joy and grace and love than bitterness and hurt and hopelessness. Amen? To know Jesus is to know peace and love and joy and grace. And to follow him becomes easier because of those things that are in our lives. Willard has this quote. He says, to depart from righteousness is to choose a life of crushing burdens, failures, and disappointments, a life caught up in the toils of endless problems that are never resolved. Here is the source of that unending soap opera that sometimes horrors show known as normal human life. The cost of discipleship, though it may take all that we have, is small compared to the lot of those who don't accept Christ's invitation to be a part of the way of life. The cost of not being a disciple of Jesus is way greater, is what Willard's saying, than the cost of being a follower of Jesus. The difficulty of living life apart from God is way harder than following Jesus. The secret of the easy yoke is what makes life easy. And it's in this truth lies the secret of the easy yoke. The secret involves living as he lived in the entirety of his life, adopting his overall lifestyle. You see, as we follow him, we begin to live like him. Agreed? When we follow him, we begin to think like him. Agreed? When we follow him, we begin to love like him. We begin to serve like him. We begin to accept like him. We begin to think like him. We begin to be like him in every aspect of our lives. So it's not just on Sundays that we follow him. It's on Monday when we're responding to a Facebook post. Oh. It's on Tuesday when somebody at work gets on our nerves. It's on Wednesday when we're just looking for somebody to help us at Walmart. It's on Thursday whenever our order came and it wasn't what we ordered. It's on Friday when our kids still haven't called us for the entire week. And it's on Saturday when we realize Sunday's coming and I haven't really spent time with God. It's on all those days, isn't it, that we're called to follow Jesus. You know, when we follow, then life begins to look like that. And if we're following, we're not just going where they go, like follow the leader. We're doing what they do, living the way they lived. You know, and here's the amazing thing. Jesus said to his disciples that they were going, he sent them out, and he told them that they were going to do the things that he did. Amen? But he didn't stop there. Do you remember what else he told them? You will do even greater things than I have done. Holy cow! Jesus expects me to do more than he did. He expects me to perform greater miracles than he did. He expects me to love people greater than he did. Yep. Whew. Now that's a lot, is it not? But Jesus, when we follow him, we're going to do those kinds of things. And we kind of go, but I can't do those things. And he kind of goes, and that's the point. You can't, but I can. I can when I live in you. I can when you follow me. I can when you're with me. That's the easy yoke. That's what you're carrying with you. And that's the promise that he makes us when we follow him. Because the second part of that definition is come to me, follow me, and then what was the next part? I will make. You're not going to do this. You aren't going to become a disciple on your own. You're not going to know all these things just by reading the Bible. You're not going to become all these things just by going to church every week. But I will make in you a disciple. I will make you my beloved. Once we say yes to Jesus, Jesus gives us the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you hear that? When we say yes to Jesus, immediately Jesus gives us the power of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit gives us a new mind and a new heart and a new life and a new way of being. Jesus gives us these things. He gives us a new power. Once we say yes to Jesus, Jesus transforms us from the inside out. We don't do it. Jesus does all the heavy lifting. A disciple, then, is someone who follows Jesus and is being changed by Christ. Jesus was going to change those fishermen into something else. Amen? He was going to change Matthew from a tax collector into something else. He was going to change all those disciples into something else. Jesus changes us. He changes things that are in our minds to something that is new. He changes death into life. He changes hopelessness into hope. He changes the lost into found. Jesus changes things. He changes our beliefs in our heads. He changes our attitudes in our hearts. And he changes our character, our way of living and serving others. He changes everything. And just as he shaped those early disciples, Jesus is shaping us now. And here's what I know about how Jesus works. And I shared this with somebody else this week. Jesus does not call the equipped. He equips the called. He doesn't call you because you're perfect. But his love and grace is made perfect in you after he's called you. Amen? How? Because the Holy Spirit is at work within us, working to make us and transform us into the likeness of Christ, changing us to be more Christ-like. Because the more we know him, the more, as Paul wrote to the Colossians, our minds are fixed on things that are above and not on earthly things. The more that we spend our time with him and he spends his time in and with us, the more we are changed. And why? Well, because disciples become fishers of people. They follow him. He makes them to be fishers of people. That's what a disciple is. That's what a disciple does. We all do this because we become committed to the mission of Jesus. And Jesus was a fisher of people. Amen? He was out there fishing for the lost. He was out there fishing for those who needed to be healed. He was out there fishing for those who were far from God. He was out there fishing, trying to bring all people into God. And Jesus is saying, you know, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of people. If you follow me, I will give you your purpose. If you follow me, I will make you enabled to live out your purpose. If you follow me, you're going to fish for people, so that they can have a life with me too. When we know and follow Jesus, we look at other people differently. When we know and follow Jesus, we look at our own lives differently. When we know and follow Jesus, we don't judge folks. We listen to them. We care for them. We invite them in. We reach out to them in love. We are disciples of Jesus when we serve and act as Jesus did. Unless we forget, remember this truth as well. Those that we share Jesus with, those that we disciple, are not our disciples. Right? So I counted at annual conference this week, or last week, I counted and there are 11 folks who have entered the ministry out of churches that I've served. And thank God none of them are like me. Yeah. Right? Because they're not my disciples. Amen? They belong to Jesus. They're not mine. I'm not... I wish I could say that I knew and did something on purpose, that's why they accepted God's call to full-time ministry. But thank heavens I did not. I just got to be along for the ride. Do you hear me? I don't know when it was God called them. I don't know how it was that God called them. I just got to be along for the ride. Because it's not us. It's Jesus. It's not us when we go out to serve. It's Jesus. It's not us when we open our mouths and words come out that lead people to know and to love Jesus. It's Jesus. You know, my prayer when I get up to preach on a Sunday, my prayer when I go to the hospital, my prayer whenever I get ready to even pray for somebody, my prayer when I go get ready to go out and meet new people is, God, just give me your words. Let the words that come out of me, even if I'm saying one thing, let them be the words that you want them to hear. I'm pretty convinced some Sundays that I said one thing, but God let you hear something else. Thank heavens. Right? And I'm pretty convinced that if you were just listening to me, nothing much would happen. Amen? This is who we are. Our job is just to continue to say yes to Jesus. Pray to God to be acting in us and through us. And that as God acts in us and through to us, that we might have at least enough sense to say yes to what God is doing in that moment. I want to be used like that. How about you? I want to know that God is at work in our midst. And I'm fairly convinced that if we are looking to see where God is at work, most of the time, it will be in those opportunities to serve other people. So if you're looking around you this week and you're wanting to know, God, where are you at work? You just look for some place where there is a need. And then say yes. And God will be at work through you in meeting that need. That's how God works. So our prayer every day is, Lord, help me to do what you want me to do and say what you want me to say. So the key in this, if you're wanting to know, am I really becoming a disciple of Jesus? The key is this. Are the words that you're speaking sounding more like Jesus or less? Are the thoughts that you're thinking looking and sounding more like Jesus or less? Are the actions and the ways that you are serving looking more like Jesus or less? Are you trying to do things more on your power or on God's power? When we make a decision to follow Him with our head and give Him authority in our lives, we are changed by Him and we begin to think the thoughts that He thinks and we begin to live the way that He lived and we begin to be in relationship with others the way He is in relationship with others. And this is what Jesus is inviting us to today. Come. Follow me, He says. And I will make you fishers of men. May He make in each one of us today what He has called us to do and to be by the power of His Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Would you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, we thank you today. We thank you for the way that you call us, and we pray, O God, that you would open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, our minds, our whole being to hear you today, to hear what you would speak to us today. But God, don't let us just hear it and do nothing. Let us say yes. And God, there are people in the room today who are saying yes to you and in different ways and in different places in their lives. As you hear them, as they follow you, fill them with your Spirit and make them your own once more. In Jesus' name, amen.